was at, and evidently they went through there and they testified of the truth that was in Gaius. Okay? And he says, not only was the truth in thee, even as thou walkest in truth, so his walk was as his, what am I trying, his testimony was. He had a testimony of the truth, and he walked in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. And I think Gil thinks that when he says my children, he's talking about Gaius being one of his children. Now, of course, this is children in the faith. In other words, John was probably instrumental in his conversion and was a father in that sense, but not that we call men father, and we talked about all that, but we're not going to go over it again. But it gave him great joy to hear that, you know, the ones that he had led to Christ and been an instrument in Christ, that they walked in the truth, you know, and it wasn't just some kind of, you know, decision and then whatever. And you know, you see that all the time. People, you know, make decisions, get baptized, and you know, what happens after that? Not much. No change. But anyway, but he says that my children walk in the truth. That gave him great joy that that happened. He says, beloved, thou dost faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. Thou doest, not dost. Thou doest faithfully, his command, beloved. Thou doest faithfully what soever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. And we're going to pick up there. Let's read the rest of it and we'll come back to that. Which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. That's a little confusing in the way that reads, but I think I've got it down right. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. So evidently he wrote a letter to the same church where Gaius is at, but Diotrephes, he didn't receive it and he didn't read it. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words. And not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbidding them that would, and casting them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Right? He's putting a, sound like to me he's putting a pretty bad word on this fellow. Kind of, I mean, he didn't come out and say he's the evil one, but you know he's insinuating his deeds are evil. He says, Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. So here's a different fellow here. Yea, and we also bear record, and you know that our record is true. I have many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee, but I trust I shall shortly see thee, and will speak face to face. Peace be to thee, our friends salute thee, greet the friends by name. And he kind of ends it the same way he ended that last letter, didn't he? He said he's going to come face to face. But anyway, in verse 5, he says, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. What do you think he means by thou doest faithfully? You know, this is a thought. Well, in faith, obviously, right? Faithfully. But not with hypocrisy. In other words, would you do it to the brethren, do it faithfully and not in hypocrisy, not for gain or whatever, you know. Does that make sense? In other words, I don't know how to put it in any other words. You know, many people may do many things, but perhaps it is as the Pharisees, they do it in such a way to be seen, you know, or in a hypocrisy and whatever. I mean, you see that kind of stuff going on all the time. Not that we shouldn't do things, But he says, "Do whatever you do to the brethren, do it faithfully, not with hypocrisy." I think that's what he means here. Yeah. And so, really, he's saying do things in faith, huh? Do things not to be seen, but do things in faith. You know, God sees everything. And then he says, to the brethren and to strangers. The brethren would probably be in the church where Gaius was a member. And then he says, and to the strangers. Now, the word strangers here, I agree with Gil on this. This doesn't mean unconverted people that might be coming by, you know. Now, he's talking about strangers, but believers in the truth that may be traveling from afar, you know. Communicate well to strangers is the idea. In other words, he's saying, and to the strangers. And especially those that are spreading the gospel. So, you know, perhaps people were coming. In fact, I think it was from Judea, as we'll see. Were coming up and they came to this church, perhaps. And he's saying they were strangers in that sense. But he's saying do faithfully to the brethren in the church and to the strangers that might be passing through that are spreading the gospel and believers in the truth. The same thing we do here. What if somebody came through here and they believe just like we do, you know? We'd want to greet them and have fellowship with them and want to treat them very well, wouldn't we? And so I think that's the idea here. Because notice, it says in verse 6, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou do well. And so these brethren that came through came to John and testified before the church where he's at Ephesus probably, where John was, and testified of the charity, of thy charity, which is Gaius' charity, okay, that he had. So Gil says, at Ephesus, where John was, these brethren and strangers coming thither, and being greatly affected with Gaius' kindness and liberality to them, could not forbear speaking of it to his praise in the presence of the members of the church, as well as acquainted the Apostle John with it. So John knows about the charity that Gaius had from these brethren that came through there and came to the church at Ephesus, okay? And so they let him know. And he says here, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Young's literal translation has it, having sent forward worthily of God. In other words, let me just read to you what Gil says on it, because I think I understand what he's saying. In other words, that not only did he treat them well and all that, but he brought them on their way. Remember Abraham, I think, didn't he do that to those three? One of them's Christ, I believe. But the three angels that came, and he, you know, he fed them and all that, and then he brought them on their way. And so that was the idea here. He brought them on their way after a godly... And help them out of there. And help them to... let me read to what Gil says. He says, the word here used signifies to send on before, as in Acts 15:3, and is used by the Septuagint in the same sense as here, and in the above places in Genesis 18:16, I think that's where I was talking about, where it is said that Abraham went with them, the angels, to bring them on the way, to send them on, or send them away, dismiss them, take his leave of them in a friendly and honorable way. And so this Greek word, which seems to answer to the Hebrew phrase, signifies an honorable accompanying, leading forth, taking leave of friends. And so the apostle encourages Gaius to behave in like manner to the brethren and strangers, meaning either by accompanying them in person or by sending his servants along with them, both to direct them the way and to secure them from danger, and chiefly by furnishing them with everything necessary for them. Kind of like what you were saying, okay? And then he says, see Titus 3:13 and all that. But anyway, and this he would have him do, is what John, he's saying John would have him do that, after a godly sort, or worthy of God, in imitation of God, who is merciful, kind, and beneficent, or as it became him, whom God had called by his grace to his kingdom and glory, or whatever, and it, or it is was fit and proper such servants of God as those brethren were should be used, and this would be well doing, is what Gill says. So anyway, he said send them on their way after a godly sort, and thou shalt do well. Verse 7 says, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing. So who is he talking about? Well, he's talking about these brethren, it appears. And I think Gill's right on this. Gill says they came from Judea. And they came up. Because notice it says, taking nothing of the Gentiles. Why would it, if they were Gentiles, why would it say that? You see what I'm saying? So kind of like, remember Paul sort of did that. He didn't take nothing of the Gentiles, you know. And so he wouldn't be accused of anything. Because that for his name's sake they went forth. They might have been Jews, but they were believers in Christ. And they went forth for his name's sake, preaching the gospel, and it says here, taking nothing of the Gentiles. So that's what Gill says, from Judea. And I said here, taking nothing of Gentiles, which suggests that they were Jews who believed on Christ and for his name's sake went forth preaching the gospel. I already kind of said that, okay? So they didn't take nothing. They didn't even take anything of the Gentiles that were converted through their preaching. In other words, they're preaching to the Gentiles. Let's say Gentiles are converted. And they're not even taking nothing from the Gentiles, so they wouldn't be accused of doing it for filthy lucre's sake, I guess you might say. Okay? You know, the false brethren might be saying, well, they're just doing it for worldly gain. You know, and they won't be accused of that, would they? They went forth preaching the gospel, taking nothing of Gentiles, even the ones that were converted, Brother Keith. I have been here for how many years? And you too? I ain't never heard of that.
They don't.
And I'll tell you something else.
They come represent him.
Right. Not for money. And most of the time, they don't want any expenses. And we'll pay expenses, and they don't even want them. And I had some. We've had some of them give it back.
They don't ask for anything. They come because of the love of Christ.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though they are Gentiles, but yeah, and we give them that out of love because we want to.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm sure if these strangers
and these preachers that come here aren't wealthy people.
And I'm sure these people that come from Judea speaking to this church, I'm sure that this guy, he was hospital too, he offered them a barbecue chicken or whatever.
Yeah. Brother Charlie was said he fixed them a lunch pail to leave. He put some sandwiches in there. No, that's right.
They come in for his name's sake.
Right. Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 11:7, have I committed an offense in abasing myself, that ye might be exalted, because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I and when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. So he, you know, Paul told the church, I ain't take nothing from you. Things were supplied to me, you know. So anyway, verse 8 says, we therefore are to receive such that we might be fellow helpers of the truth. And that's a good point right there, right? Good reason to receive the brethren that were, because what are they doing? They're preaching the gospel, right? So if we help them, or if we receive them and do what we've just been talking about, then what? We're fellow helpers to the truth. And so I think that's the idea here. So I had down here received Jews who believe on Christ and go forth preaching the gospel in truth and grace, not Judaizers who mix the works of the law with grace in order to be saved, but those Jews who preach the truth, such as Paul and others, is what I put down here. Yeah, we'd be fellow, because, you know, the Judaizers, we don't want, they were false teachers, really, okay? And so Gill says, ought to receive such preachers of the word into our houses and entertain them. You know what the word entertain means, don't mean get a band, you know, or playing a fiddle or something in front of them. You know, entertain them means to, you know, supply a meal. Be hospitable. Be hospitable, right. Entertain them cheerfully. Well, you need something, I'll give it to you. No. You know what I mean. Cheerfully, while they continue, and supply them with all necessaries when they depart. Boy, that's what Gil says, anyway. And so to receive such is to be fellow helpers of the truth. Think about it. To be the propagation of the gospel to a lost and dying world, to help them is to be fellow helpers in the proclamation of the gospel. And this is a dying world.
What do you think we do? We support missions.
Yeah. Yep. It's a lost and dying world.
It's part of the truth that they're performing over there when we support them.
You know, and I don't know why I was thinking about that lost and dying world. I was thinking about that video I saw on Seattle. Seattle is dying, this guy said, you know, and he showed. It was horrible. You saw part of it. I watched the whole thing. It was an hour long. And they had some of the stuff I can't talk about. I mean, in graveyards, they were sleeping in graveyards and going to the bathroom on graves and stuff. There's so many people just lying, drugged out, needles everywhere. And this is Seattle. Glorious city, right? But that's what liberalism has done there, I guess. But the point is, I mean, it was almost like third world animals living. So I thought, you're talking about a lost and dying world. It is a lost and dying world. And when we were up there talking to Joe, Ray, he said, his daughter wanted to go to Seattle?
Yeah.
Because she's a druggie now? She wanted to go to Seattle. You know why she wanted to go to Seattle? It's the drug mecca of the United States. You can go to Seattle and get free drugs. And so they got people laying in the streets all over the place just drugged out. You're talking about a lost and dying world. Just look at that. You're talking about people that, you know, they're on their road to hell. I don't see any salvation there. I mean, you're talking about some bunch of, they need Christ. They need Christ, buddy. That's where we ought, maybe we ought to go there and preach or something. I don't know.
But you go to the right places in the world. You go to the right places in the bathroom.
Yeah.
You go out there and guard your housing area. You got the same exact thing.
I'd get killed out there, though.
Yeah. Well, those people will kill you.
Yeah.
Enough money to get another hit of drugs.
Yeah. It's that bad, you know. I mean, it's not everywhere, but I mean, Seattle. What I saw there was just, oh, garbage and trash and people in little tents all over the place, right next to the interstate. You got all these cars going down the interstate, and look on the side, it's nothing but trash and like a dump. One guy, he had a business, and outside of his business is just a dump from people just, and he can't, you know, he can't even have a business. Anyway, so I didn't mean to get sidetracked, but one of them rabbits? Okay.
One.
Only one so far. Okay, anyway. A lost and dying world. Yep, it is. Okay, so to receive people that would go preach to those lost and dying world would be a good thing. We'd be fellow helpers to the truth. He says, I wrote unto the church, verse 9, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. So, evidently, it looks to me that John wrote a letter unto the church where Gaius was a member, and probably that's why he's writing to Gaius, because this fella didn't receive it. I wrote unto the church. Now, John's an apostle. Now, he might not be the pastor of this church, and maybe this fellow was the pastor of the church. I don't know. Kind of seems like maybe he was. And he perhaps took his authority as pastor a little too far, is what Gil thought, because John's an apostle. And he wrote to this church, but this fellow says, I ain't even reading his letter. Because why? Well, I'm the pastor, and this guy's going to write to my church? You see, he wanted the preeminence. In fact, the word preeminence, I looked that up. Let me see if I can find it here. What did that mean? In other words, first place, I think that's what it was. In other words, he didn't want to be second.
Above
others. He wanted first place, right? I'm first. And John writing a letter to this church means I ain't first. And so he didn't like that. So he says, who loveth to have the preeminence among them. Among that, in other words, in that church, I'm the top dog. I'm the top dog. Nobody's going to tell us what to do. And Apostle John's not going to write a letter to this church and say anything. Okay, that's what I get out of it anyway. He wrote to the church there, which again, kind of hard to write to a universal invisible church, but he wrote to this church, right? And it was a local visible church, obviously, and this fella wouldn't let John's letter be read to that church, which again shows that it was a local visible thing. And, you know, we said it 100 million times, you know, you might speak of the church in a universal sense only when you're speaking of my brain goes blank all of a sudden. Maybe it's like
future church, the church after the church.
I meant in a organizational sense, or no, that ain't the right word either. But when you speak of it that way, you're not changing the nature of the church, is what I'm getting at. The nature of the church is always local and visible, even though I may speak of the essence of it, it's another word I'm looking for, and I don't know where the word's gone out of my brain.
The Church of Jesus Christ is in Hill Springs, it's in Europe,
yeah.
It's in New York.
Yeah, but I might speak of the church as a whole.
Right.
In the ecclesiastical sense, and that's still not the word I'm looking for. And it ain't the organization. It's, I don't remember what it was. But you know what I mean. Hopefully. So he wrote to this church here again. Now, this fellow's name, the institutional sense. I got it right here in my notes. In other words, I might speak of the institutional sense of the church, universally, so to, you know, in the singular. All of the churches in the institutional sense, and use the word church singular. But a church is still a local visible assembly. Anyway, this man he probably was a Gentile, and probably why he didn't like them Jews coming up. Maybe, I don't know. He's just a thought here. Okay. But he was probably a Gentile. His name means nourished by Jove, J-O-V-E, or Jupiter. He had a Gentile name, and it's from another Greek word that means Jupiter or Zeus, and was translated Jupiter both times where it appears in the New Testament. So his name, he's got a Gentile pagan name, so to speak, but he's a Christian, you know, supposed to be. Okay. But he says here, receiveth us not. He didn't receive the letter that John wrote to the church there. And we just already talked about it because he loved the preeminence. And, you know, loving the preeminence is a product of what? Pride. You know, pride gets in our way all the time. It really does. You know, I just recently got kind of mad, walked out of a place. But you know what I realized after? Why did you get mad, Lucian? Your pride. That's what it is. You know, when somebody attacks you and wants to attack you, your first response is, I'll knock you on your, you know, knock you back. But, you know, that's just pride. So anyway, pride is something that can sneak up on you like, nope, you know. And you don't recognize, you know, when we have pride and we sin in a prideful way, we don't see it. Other people might see it, but you can't see it in yourself. You ever notice that? Pride is hard to see in yourself because we're just too proud. So anyway, sidetracked. Two rabbits. Okay. But anyway, he was a product. He wanted the first place in the church there, as Young's little translation has it, first place. And so anyway, John's letter overshadowed his first place among the members of the church there, is what I got down here. And so this is the reason that John is writing to Gaius, is what Gil says. So evidently, he must have rejected the Jewish brethren that came up from Judea. Look at the next verse. It says, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth pranting against us with a malicious word, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren. He wouldn't receive the brethren, it looks like. So, before we talk about verse 10 a little bit more, this fellow must have been an officer of the church there, and Gil thinks he carried his authority way too far over the Apostle John. You know, And it also seems that he had some dislike for the Jews, evidently, even though, now think about it, these are Jews that are coming up from Judea who are professing Jesus Christ. Why would you not receive them? I don't know, some people, there's people that just despise Jews. You know? And there's, even if they're Christians, I can't see despise them at all. I mean, think about it, they're the ones that Christ came from. You know? Christ was a Jew. I'm sorry, but he was, you know? And so how do you hate the Jews? I know they kill the Son of God, but that was providence too, wasn't it? And you know what, we ain't no different from them except for grace. And you know what grace is going to do in the end? I can prove from Romans chapter 11 that he's going to turn those Jews in the end. Romans chapter 11 says it. Yes, our sins killed him. Yes. He didn't die for his sins.
That's right.
No. I remember somebody accused Pink of being heretical by saying this, but I think Pink was absolutely right. He said Christ was no innocent victim. But if you looked at what he said before that, he was talking about our sins being put upon him. Sins, right? He bore my sins. He was innocent of his own sins. Yes, he was innocent, but legally he was guilty of sin because he bore my sins. He made him to be sin. I mean, you can't get any clearer than that, you know? So, anyway, so, and, you know, Pink said that, and some people took offense at it, but I thought, man, that was pretty good. So, I guess they didn't understand imputation. I don't know. So, anyway, wherefore, verse 10, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. So he took a lot of authority here, okay?
Sounds like he was running a dictatorship
in
that church.
Yeah, he's acting like a dictator. That's exactly right. That's a good point. You know, he's not receiving them, he's casting them out. And church don't look like it has much of a say in it, huh? You're right. He's a dictator. He's running the show. He's first place. He's got the preeminence, right? He's the pope of that church. That's right. He's the pope. So anyway, he says, I'll remember his deeds. Gill says, meaning not only that he would tell him of them to his face, but make mention of them and expose them to the whole church. And reprove him for them. Well, he's the apostle. He's an apostle, you know. I'm not sure a pastor of another church could come in here and do that to a pastor of our church. But this is the Apostle John. I mean, think about it. He's one of the 12 apostles, right? So,
well,
he's got apostolic authority.
Well, the other thing was, is
yes, okay.
But if they come in and tell us what we believe is wrong and they can't prove it by the Bible, then we should put them out of the church.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that makes sense. I don't know, I'm not going to read it. Anyway, evidently he prated against John with malicious words. That's hard to believe, huh? And you know, John was a pretty meek guy too, wasn't he? And to have malicious words against the Apostle John seems a little strange. Hard to believe to me that he would do such a thing to the Apostle John. But evidently he loved being first a little too much and didn't see his own pride and sin. Verse 11, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Well, this would be true in any general sense, but boy, it sure seems to be pointed at this fellow, if you ask me, in particular. I mean, look, he just said what he did, right? Malicious words and all that. And then he says, beloved, follow not that which is evil. So I think he's continuing along the same thought. I think he's pointing at that man. He didn't call him out and say that in this verse, but I think that's who he means. Verse 12, Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is truth. So that's quite a different testimony than the other fellow, it seems, right? And it seems he seems to be a member of the same church with Gaius, evidently, I think. Yeah, it seems like to me. You know, this one fellow, you know, he's malicious word, but Demetrius, he had the good report of all men, you know, so that's a good thing. And so I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee, same as he said to the elect lady in back in the previous chapter, a previous epistle rather, but I trust I will shortly see thee, and I will speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends. I think he said, and oh, look at verse 10. He says, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds. But then in verse 14, he says, but I trust I shall shortly see thee. So it wasn't like, well, maybe I'll come, or if I come, you know, I ain't really decided yet. But I think the if there is, you know, he's not in control of everything, be the Lord's will, whatever, you know. But he says, but I trust I shall shortly see thee. So he's coming, you know, and speak to them face to face about all this. Peace be to thee, Gaius, and the friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. So anyway, we finished first.